So while I was listening to the car horn, right, not the paw paw car horn, my heartbeats go with the car horn. And so as they were beating, right, so I thought they're going to sing, like that song, we will, but it didn't happen that way, all right? So I thought that's a song coming up, yeah? But it didn't happen that way. During the Pentecost prayer, I was asked to, entrusted to hold the banner, okay? And so that was the first time I actually hold a banner and try to wave it, all right? And I noticed something. It was not as easy as I thought, you know? It took quite a while for me to practice in order to get the flow right. So it was really, really not easy. All right. So it's one thing that we are sitting down there, we are enjoying their dance, waving their flag. It seems very easy, but actually, it is not easy. I heard some of them, I was talking to some of the members who performed earlier, and so they were sharing with me that actually, they woke up this morning at 5 a.m., some of them 5:30, because they need to be church. They need to be in church by 7 a.m. I think 6:30 or 7 a.m. so that they can practice and do their rehearsal. So that you and me, we can sit down there to be blessed and enjoy their dance. So let us give them a round of applause. All right, a lot of hard work and effort have been put into it. You know, so thank God for the dancing team, the dancing ministry. How many of us? All right, especially for husband and wife, all right, husband and wife. How many of us, all right, when was the last time that actually just the two of you, that you go out of this country and have your personal retreat? Couple and wife, husband and wife. My wife and I, for the last few years, all right, it has been our practice that every year we'll make some time just for my wife, Jocelyn, and myself to go overseas for a short retreat. We will leave our children at home. So when they were younger, we leave them to our either my parents or my parent-in-law. Now they are much older, we leave them to my helper. So they are independent on their own when we are away for our retreat. And so we will take time to catch up with one another, because sometimes in Singapore, we are so busy with our work, and at home, then we need to give attention to our children. So we don't really have much time to really sit down and, allow the Lord to refresh and renew our relationship with one another. So as much as taking care of our children is very, very important, I also want to encourage us not to neglect your relationship with one another. All right? Not to neglect your relationship with one another. So the family life has organized a retreat for you, for a marriage couple, right? A 5-star resort I consider as a very reasonable price. And I want to encourage you to sign up. And I also want to assure you that program is going to be very relaxing for you. And probably there are some one or two very romantic moments, yeah? They will help you to spark that fire for one another once again, okay? So I want to encourage you to sign up. If you have not, Pastor Fabian and myself will be there to share with you our marriage journey. Of course, I also like to hear your journey as well. Yeah, so I want to, we want to be there, have a time of fellowship, and share our journey, our marriage journey. At the same time, we also want to share with you what are some of the challenges that we face, all right, for us as a couple, as a husband and wife. So if you have not signed up, we would like to invite you, all right, to join us for a time of fellowship and spiritual encounter with God. And for more information, what you can do is that after the service, please go to the atrium and look out for someone who is holding either a rose or that sea salt candy, all right? All right? Yeah. It's not lollipop, huh? It's a sea salt candy, all right? Look out for them and they will give you more information about this retreat, the up and coming retreat, okay? Is that all right? Now, a man complained to his friend about his wife. He was telling his friend, my wife, she's always so anxious about small things, Every time when I talk to her, she always nag and nag and nag. No matter how many good things I've done, she never really appreciate. And she's always so negative. I give you an example.
You know, I always remember the car seat before we go out. The stroller, I also remember. Even the diaper bag, I also remember, but she's never happy. You know, all she can talk about is always about how I forgot the baby, you know. Well, okay, so for a wife, you need your husband to be more, not to be so forgetful, sign up for the retreat, all right? And for husband, okay, you want your wife to understand you better, sign up for the retreat, okay? But we thank God for imperfect father, don't we, right? So we want to thank God for imperfect fathers, and I want to wish all our fathers here in advance a happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I believe next week, Pastor Andrew will share with us more about Father's Day, and we will pray over you for a blessing. How many of us remember senior pastor's message last week? Good. Only one. What happened to the rest? I'm sure we remember, right? Last week, our senior pastors shared with us about what is God's vision for the church. What is God's vision for the people of God? What is God's vision for Kuz? And he said that, in short, love one another. Right? He said, love one another. Not just love one another, love even your enemies. Love them as how God has loved them. Because this is our sacrificial love unto the Lord. And he shared with us four practical steps. How do we love? He said, be honest, be objective, be kind, and be trustworthy. So after that service, someone came up to me and said, you know, Pastor, it is easy to talk about it. It is easy to, to talk about love. But in reality, it's not that easy. In reality, it's quite difficult. Isn't that true? It is quite difficult. You know, we are called to be like Jesus, but we are not Him. We have our own flaw. We have our own weaknesses. And so it's not easy to, of course, it's easy to love someone that you love, but it's not easy to love someone who can be our enemy or someone who don't like us. So it's not easy to love them. And you will never know how difficult love is until you meet your enemy. Isn't that true? You never know how difficult love is until you meet your enemy. But despite our weaknesses, despite our imperfection, Jesus commanded us to love. He said to us, love one another and love your enemy. Do to others what God has done for you. But we thank God that He did not just say that you go and love. He also promised us, as we obey His command, He will help us. But how? How does God help us to fulfill His vision? And so this morning, I want to talk about how does God help us to fulfill His purpose upon our lives? How does God help the church to fulfill His vision to love one another? Jesus said, ask. Jesus invites us to ask. How does God help us? Jesus said, ask. If you have the Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. We're going to read from verses 7 to 12. If you do not have, just look at the screen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 12. Jesus said, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives. The one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sum up the law and the prophets. Jesus invited the disciple to ask. So why did Jesus invite the disciple to ask? He invited the disciple to ask because in the same chapter, in verse 29, Matthew said to us that this was the best teaching they ever heard. So in other words, after the teaching of Jesus, the crowds were very impressed, challenged, motivated, and inspired by Jesus' sermon. And Jesus knowing that they were challenged, knowing that now they had a hunger for more of God in their life, because the people, after hearing the teaching of Jesus, they were wondering in their heart, you know, Lord, all these teachings were good. How can we have them? So now, Jesus knowing the people were wondering how to experience all that Jesus taught them on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus invite them to ask God today. How do we experience that? Jesus say, ask. Ask and you will receive. But this prayer is very different from the Lord's Prayer Jesus taught them earlier. This prayer is very specific. Unlike the Lord's Prayer is asking for more like our general needs. For example, like our food, our daily needs, a shelter, clothing, you know, our own struggles. So the Lord's Prayer handles mostly our general needs. But for this prayer, it's about seeking the kingdom of God first. This prayer is about for people who has a hunger and thirst for more of God in their life. This prayer is for people who crave for a greater intimacy with God. For people who desire seeking to honor God in everything that they do. For people who wants to be more like Jesus Christ. For people who wants to know more about God. This prayer is for people who wants more of God in their life. So in other words to say, if this is your desires today that you want to have more of God in your life, you are craving for the intimacy of God in your life, Jesus invites you to ask. He invites you to ask because it comes with a promise. Because Jesus continued to say, for everyone, not someone, in regards of your background, in regards of, all right, whether your intelligence, where you come from, in regards of that, Jesus said, this is for everyone who asks. And those who ask, receives. Turn to your neighbor and say, receives. And the one who seeks, finds. Turn to your neighbor again, say one more time, finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be open. This prayer comes with a promise. You know, a little boy was kneeling beside his bed with his mother and grandmother and his father, and then he's softly saying in his prayer, and he prayed this way, you know, dear God, please bless mommy and daddy and all my family. Please bless them, and please, Lord, give me a good night rest. Help me to find rest in you and so that I can sleep well. And then after that, suddenly, he looked up and shouted, and don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday. Now the mother got a shock, you know. So the mother turned to the son and said, you know, son, God isn't deaf. You don't need to shout so loud in order for God to hear your prayer. And then the boy said to the mother, yes, mom, I know, but this one is for grandma to hear. You know, sometimes we have to shout in our prayer. Sometimes we have to cry in our prayer because we are not sure whether has God heard my prayer. But for this prayer, you will receive because it is God's will for you. It is God's desire for you. So for this prayer, you will receive. And Jesus invites you to ask because he say in John 16 verse 24, Jesus say, until now, you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive and your joy will be complete. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that's how God works. It is true that today, this morning, God knows all your needs. Even before you pray, God already knows what is in your mind. God knows what is in your heart. God knows what you have been going through in your life. God knows everything about you. So God knows all them all. So even though He knows all your needs, He won't act until you ask. And you can only ask because it's a gift. You cannot earn for it except receive it by faith. And Jesus invites you to ask today because He is different. God is different. He wants you to ask because He wants you to know that God is not like any one of us or any other gods in the world. He wants us to know that the God we are worshiping this morning, He is perfect. He is good. He is perfect and faithful to His promise. He is our perfect Heavenly Father. But we are not, and we are not like Him. How many of us love to eat durian? Okay, not many are in this congregation, right? Or maybe you're too shy, lah. You know, there are some people, no matter what I ask, they'll never put up their hands on, okay? My favorite durian used to be D24. Have you heard of D24? It was my best and favorite durian then, okay? And so if I go to any durian store, I will only order D24. Not, all right, only D24. So I used to enjoy D24 until one day, a friend of mine came to me and said, "Bro, do you know that there's another durian that's better than D24? I said, "Are you sure or not?" "I can guarantee you that." I said, "What is that?" "Mao Shan Wang." "Are you sure that Mao Shan Wang is better than D24? He said, "You must try it and taste it. All right, if you don't try it, you won't believe me. You must go and try first." So with some, I was a little bit skeptical and question mark there. But because he said so, so I decided to go and try. So I went to the durian store and say, "Uncle, do you have a durian by the name of Cat?" Right? "Mao Shan Wang." Right? And I asked the uncle, "Uncle, are you sure that this durian is better than D24? He said, "I tell you, bro, this is definitely better." "Are you sure?" I said, "Yes." I said, "Never mind, uncle, give me one durian. I want Mao Shan Wang." So he gave me a durian. I tried the durian, I tasted it, and it was really good. And since then, I keep craving for Mao Shan Wang. Meow, meow, right? Cat, where are you? You know? Yeah? And no more D24. It's Mao Shan Wang today. So what I'm trying to say, you know, in order for me to know how good the durian is, all right, knowing the durian is not enough. I need to ask for the durian. I need to taste the durian and experience it in order to show that indeed Mao Shan Wang is better than D24. So in the same way, like for you and me in our spiritual life, it is not enough to just know about God. It is not enough that we just heard about God. You need to experience God. And you will never know how good is God, how perfect it is, and how faithful He is until you ask and experience Him in your life today. Now, because next week is Father's Day, so I want to take this opportunity to share with us my experience about fathering. And I want us to know that I am an imperfect father. But fathering, to me, is a privilege. Because even though I'm imperfect, and yet God entrusted me the role of a father. So I want to do my best to be a good father. But what is a good father? How to be a good father? A good father is to be like God, giving good gifts to His children. That's what it takes to be a good father. But giving good gifts does not mean just providing material needs. It's more than just that. The best gift we as a father can ever offer to our children is our relationship with them and seeing them grow up in Christ. And the last thing we want to do as a father is to neglect our children. So recently I read an article from China about a young, as young as 10 years old, a boy who wrote an essay about how much he missed his father's attention. And the title of this essay is 爸爸我想对你说, in Chinese, but I'm going to translate for us into English for the Sam, for my dear friend Sam, right? So, in English, the title of this essay is "Dad, I have something to tell you." So I'm going to read for us in English, okay, to my translation. It was written in this way: "Father, I wanted to tell you every Saturday and Sunday, all you do is play with your phone and watch television. You never spend time with me. When I see others playing with their fathers, I envy them so much. But you keep playing with your phone all day. Don't you care about me? You only know how to ask me to read more books. And I want you to know I'm very angry. You are not my father anymore. You become the father of your phone." I think it's very sad, right? For us as father, I think this is the last thing that we want our children to remember about us. That all they remember about us is our relationship with our phone rather than our relationship with them. So to all the fathers here, I want to humbly suggest to you or three ways what a good father should do to our children. First of all, ask more, talk less. Ask more, talk less. Don't always tell your children what they should do. I think as a father, there's always a tendency when we see our children, we love to instruct them and tell them what to do. But I want to suggest to you, don't always tell them what to do, and don't always talk to them about their schoolwork as though that that's only our concern. I want to encourage you fathers here, take time to ask your children about their lives. They have many interesting stories, and sometimes they don't share with you until you ask. And also, I want to encourage you, do not be afraid to let your children ask you what you have been doing in life. Share with them about your journey, about your work. So sometimes I feel very sad for, you know, in some family that I know that the children, they do not know what the fathers are doing outside the church or what job are they doing. And to me, that is sad for the children. All right, I think the children should know how their father has been doing in their lives. So ask more, talk less. Secondly, seek and be found. Seek and be found. When my children were younger, I loved to play hide and seek with my children. I have two kids, Josiah and Julie. I love to play hide and seek with them. All right, especially when we are at home. And when they were, of course, much younger. Today, if I play hide and seek, they are no more interested in me anymore. I have to go and find them, you know. They will hide and I go and seek for them. In those days, okay, now it's the other way around. Huh? In the earliest day, it was the other way around. So I love to play hide and seek with them. And so I will always hide in a certain corner. And of course, my purpose is so that they can find me, so that it's easy for them to find me. But one day, I decided to find a place to make it study a bit more difficult for them. So I choose a place that they never thought of. So I hide myself in that room. So initially, you know, one, two, three, okay. Initially, I heard some noise and excitement. I heard their running step. Boom, ba, 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 where are you? The door, boom, pom, you know, they ran everywhere, tried to look for me. But after a while, the noise stopped. I kept waiting inside for them, waiting for them to look for me. But the noise stopped. And you know what happened next? I started to hear TV noise. So I wonder what happened. So I went out. I saw them. They were sitting on the sofa and started watching TV. They gave up on me and they gave up on trying to search for me anymore, right? And, you know, parents, sometimes because of work, it is hard for them to know where we are. It is hard for them to look out for us. But I want to encourage all fathers here, even though we are very busy in our work, make sure our children know where to look for us. And I have a suggestion for you. Is that, as for me, what I do for my children is that every week, once a week, I will fix a time and a place where I will have a personal time with my children. One day with my daughter, the other night with my son. And we have been doing that for many years. And that's because I want him to know that if any time you want to know where your father is, or any time you need to look for me, you can find me there. So one thing that we can help our children to find you is to fix a time and a place where they can find you. Don't keep playing hide and seek and then to a point where they can never find you. Thirdly, knock and always be ready to open the door. When they knock, you must be always ready to open the door. I want you to imagine, all right? Imagine they need help, they come to you, and they knock on your door. So that's the first knock. So they knock, and then you say, you know, Papa, I need help. But you say, I'm busy today. Tomorrow can or not? Then the children will say, okay. They'll walk away. Second time, they knock again. Papa, I need help. I'm tired tonight, you know. You want to go and find other people for help? Maybe you ask your mommy lah. Okay, they will walk away, all right, and look for mommy. And then the third knock. This time, they knock even longer. And knock even longer. Why? Because this time, no one was there to open the door. You know what happened after the walk? They will stop knocking. They will stop asking you for help. Because why knock and keep knocking when no one wants to open the door to meet them? So when your children knock the door, this is an opportunity for you to meet, to know them, for opportunity for you, you know, for God to use that time for bonding. So when your children knock the door, don't keep the door closed. Always be ready to open the door. Someone asked me, oh, Pastor, how long should we teach our children? My answer is this: we got to do it till death do us part. Right, I do too much wedding. There's this solemn vow, right? Till death do us part. So likewise, our parenting to our children, okay? And method will change, style will change, may not be always the same ways, but always remember our call is more than just showing our children how they can begin their faith in Jesus. We are also called to show them how we end our journey with God. So it is not good enough to show them how they can begin their faith in God. We also have the responsibility to help them to see how we end our journey with God. So parenting is a lifelong journey. Method may change, style may change, but our walk with God, how we show them we finish our race, is important. Not just the beginning, but also how we end our journey with God. Some of us may say to me, oh, Pastor, I'm at a situation you don't understand. It's very tough for me to communicate with my children anymore. I make a mistakes, you know, but now I'm finding it harder. I do not know how to reach out to my children. What should I do? James said, if anyone lack wisdom, let him ask of God today. There is hope, my friends. Ask God today. If you need wisdom, ask God today who gives generously. Maybe some of us children, I'm talking to you right now, the young people, youth. As children, I want you to remember and always remember our parents are imperfect. They are imperfect. And because they are imperfect, as children, I want to encourage you that you should not expect your parents to do something only God can do it for you. Don't expect your parents to meet all your needs, whether it's your physical needs, emotional needs, or spiritual needs. If you do that, you're going to be disappointed with your parents. You're going to get frustrated with yourself. You'll get frustrated with them. Why? Because the truth is this, no one could possibly do it for you. No one can do it because we are all imperfect except God. So if there's a need that you need someone to help, ask God. Ask God. Secondly, I want to encourage you, young people, don't compare your parents with others. Like us as parents, to be honest, we don't like to be compared with other parents. I know what I mean is that for you young people, you don't like parents to compare you with other parents. So likewise, as parents, we also don't like you to compare us with other parents. You know, there's a Chinese word that says that 人比人气死人. Have you heard of that before? If you've never heard of that before, I give you a more profound one. 人比人气死人. This one you understand. So I want to encourage young people, don't compare your parents with other parents. God has a reason and God has a purpose for every parent. Rather than comparing our parents with other parents, I want to encourage you, young people here, learn to appreciate your parents for not what they have done for you, but appreciate your parents for who they are. Don't treat your parents like a vending machine. As a parent, we don't mind to be your vending machine, to be honest. I don't mind to be a vending machine for my children. Only when they are thirsty, they will come to me and then press and then something come out. I don't mind. I always tell my children, but I always remind them, don't just appreciate your parents because of what they can do for you. Appreciate them for who they are. So young people, learn to appreciate your parents for who they are and not just what they can do for you. Thirdly, I want to encourage you, you should not hold grudges against your parents. I know it's not easy. I know it's easy to just talk about it here, but still, I want to encourage you, do not hold or should not hold your grudges against your parents. Why? Because some doors only give us more harm than good. So make sure you don't knock on the wrong door. Some doors, you know, it's no good for you at all. I want to encourage you, knock the door of forgiveness. Knock the door of forgiveness so that God can transform your lives. I have a friend whose parents have separated since she was a kid. And since then, she was taken care by her grandmother because her mom had to work outside in order to provide for the family. So beside her, she has two more siblings, a sister and a brother. But today, she's married to a doctor. She's doing very well. A very caring husband, and she has three very beautiful children. So one day, I bump into her. I know her very well. So I ask her, you know, can you share with me what happened? Were you angry with your parents? How do you overcome, you know, that situation? How do you come out of it? And then she said to me, you know, to be honest, I was very angry with my parents. I was very angry at them when I knew and I heard that they are going to be separated. But I also know that by being angry with them cannot change the situation. So I learned to change my situation by learning to forgive them. And most importantly, I refuse to let hatred to consume me. I learned to overcome it by asking God to be my Father. And so when I need guidance, when I need instruction, when I want to know which school to go to, when I need help in my situation, I go to my Father and I ask him for help. And God will give her wisdom how to overcome the situation. So she said to me, I thank God that even though I do not receive the attention where many of my friends have received from their parents, but I thank God that I always get full attention from my Father in heaven. And He has never disappointed me. So I want to encourage us young people today, if you feel rejected, if you feel disappointed by what your parents have done to you, if you're still in pain today, I want to encourage you by sharing with you a Psalms from Psalm 27 verse 10. Psalm 27 verse 10 says, for my father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. I want to encourage you that today, if this is your situation, I want you to know and I want you to remember always, your Father in heaven will never forsake you. James said, what causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? You desire and do not have, so you murder, you covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. So what James is saying to us, instead of expecting others to meet all our needs, instead of envy, keep envying of others or what they have and fight and quarrel over them, Jesus invites you to ask God today. Jesus invites you to ask God today. Why? Because He knows how to meet all your needs. But today, Jesus is inviting you to ask for something more specific and more important. Jesus today is asking you to ask for the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, if you then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Today, Jesus invites you to ask something more specific, ask the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit is a person and not a mysterious thing. He is the Spirit of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. This morning or this afternoon, would you desire His Spirit more than the things of this world? Will you desire God more than the things of this world? Why desire His Holy Spirit today? Because your Heavenly Father knows all your basic needs the world is seeking after today. All your needs, your Heavenly Father knows them. But He also wants you to know that those needs, like money, your fame, pleasure, power, and prestige, those things cannot give you the same power, the love, and the obedience in our Lord Jesus Christ. You need His Holy Spirit to help you. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you to fulfill His purpose in your life. And when you have His Spirit in you, you receive power. As what Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. When you have a Spirit in you, when you have more of Christ and less of you, when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, that He increase and you decrease, His perfect love will cast out all fears, all anxiety, disappointment, and discouragement. When God has the fullness of you, His love will overcome all your fear, all your anxiety. When the Holy Spirit is in you, He stirs your faith to face your impossible difficulties and situation. If you are in the situation today, what you need most today is not how much can you can receive the wisdom from the world. You need the Holy Spirit to empower you and to stir your faith, to encourage you and to empower you to face your difficult situation. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, He empowers you to be His witness, to be the salt and the light of this world, to share the gospel. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, He equips you with spiritual gifts. He will give you gifts to help you to build and edify others, to be the body of this church and help to build this church together. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, He brings unity and healing in your relationship. If you're struggling with the marriage, you're struggling with your family or friendship, you need the Holy Spirit today to bring that unity and healing. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, He teaches you all things, give you wisdom, remind you of everything that He has taught you. He will show you the way, the direction of how to come out of your situation. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, He will transform your life from the inside out. He will produce in you the fruit of the Spirit of love, the Spirit of joy, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of patience, the Spirit of kindness, the Spirit of goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the Spirit of self-control. As you hear this, I wonder what is in your heart. Will you be like the disciple who listened to the teaching of Jesus then? After they hear what Jesus taught them, in their heart there's a stirring and they ask Jesus, Jesus, I want all these things that you have taught me. How can I have them? Jesus invites you to ask today. Maybe some of us, you're living in fear today. Maybe some of us, you're going through problems and you've been living in worries, anxieties all the time. There's no peace in your heart. Maybe some of us have been harboring bitterness. Maybe some of us, you have this envy in your heart as you like to compare with other people and always ask God, God, why are you so nice to the people and not me? That is not the kind of spirit that God wants you to have today. The kind of spirit that God wants you to receive this morning or this afternoon is a spirit that there is power, there is love, there is wisdom, and there is freedom. But who is invited to ask and to receive this spirit? Jesus said, this gift is for everyone, not just someone. In regards to your background, it's for everyone who asks, who seeks, and who knocks today. You don't need to be a perfect person to receive this spirit, these gifts of God. It is God's will, it is desire that He wants you to have the Spirit so that you can walk in His way, so that you can have a desire to follow Him, so that you have the heart, the passion to seek for the kingdom of God, so that it gives you the desire that you want to be like Jesus today. It is His will that He wants you to have that Spirit. Even if you are not a believer today, even you have not believed in Jesus Christ yet, but today you want the Holy Spirit in you. You want to ask God for the blessing. Today, He invites you to ask and you receive His Spirit. Because the scriptures say, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord, he or she will be saved. Today, we call it the Pentecost Sunday, as what Pastor Eunice has shared with us earlier. On this day, it's like where we are today. We worship God. We are waiting upon the Lord, hearing the word of the Lord. On this day, the disciples were together in one place like us. And the Bible said to us, suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Today, it is God's desire that He wants to pour out His Spirit into your life so that you will have the desire to follow His will and His purpose upon you. A few years ago, I was in a season of dryness. I experienced burnout in my ministry. I tried to be a pastor, like what pastor will do, preach, do the ministry, talk to people. I do everything I can, but there's something in my heart that's missing. There's missing of this joy of serving, this love for God and for people. So in everything I do, it's more like a duty. It's more like an obligation. But deep in my heart, I know there's something more. Deep in my heart, I know that there's something more that God wants to do in my life. But I say, and I pray, and I ask God, God, this cannot be carried on. I cannot keep on doing this because I was getting more and more tired. Because I've been trying to use my strength to do God's will. And it doesn't really help me. It will only make me more and more and more tired. So I ask God, Lord, I need a breakthrough. I need to encounter You. I need You to help me. So I pray and I ask God, God, I ask for more love of You, more love of people. Lord, I ask for more power in my ministry. Lord, I ask for more of You in my life. And I ask, oh Lord, in my ministry, let this joy of salvation in my heart, let it flow, Lord, out of my life so that in my ministry with my people, it is more than just about me. It is about the joy of salvation in my heart that flow out of my life, they will bring joy to others. And Lord, this is my desire. And Lord, I know that this is also Your desire. So I ask, Lord, help me. I want to have more of You in my life. As I pray, as I ask, the Lord asks, Joseph, I know all your needs. I know all your problems. I know everything that I've been going through. And then the Spirit said to my heart, but don't just give me your problems. Don't come to me and give me your problems. Joseph, today, I want You. You is what I want. I want your heart. I want your life. I want to dwell in you. I want to be in control of your life. I want to live with you. I want to eat with you. I want to be with you. Would you give yourself to me? Will you give yourself to me so that I have a full control of your life? They may walk in the way that's pleasing to my sight. I say, Lord, help me. It didn't come like a mighty wind, a rushing wind that I read from Acts 2. But at that moment, I encountered His presence. I was refreshed. I was recharged. I was renewed. I received the power of His love. I received the joy to serve again. And I received the will to obey God. So my friends, if you need a breakthrough today, you are tired in what you are doing. You are experiencing burning out in your ministry. You know deep in your heart. You know there's something more, but you can't give. And everything you are doing is more of like doing your own strength, trying to fulfill your duty. But you lost that joy in your heart, and you want something more. You become still in what you are doing. But deep in your heart, you're saying to God, I want something more than that. There must be more than this. Would you refresh me? Jesus is inviting you to ask for His Spirit today. Maybe some of us, you need a breakthrough in your situation. It can be your marriage. It can be your workplace. It can be your ministry. It can be your studies. But you have been living in fear and anxieties. There's always worries. And you do not know how to overcome them. Maybe some of us, you are in temptation. You keep falling and falling again. And you say, God, it's enough. I need faith. I need power to overcome them. Jesus invites you to ask today. But Jesus doesn't want you to just go to His presence and give Him all your problems, because He has already known all your problems. Jesus is asking you today, would you empty yourself so that I can fill my Spirit into your life, that you can walk in my way that's pleasing to me? Maybe some of us here, you need a deeper breakthrough in terms of your intimacy with God. You want to love God more. You want to grow deeper in your love for Jesus. You want to grow something deeper. Jesus invites you to ask for the Holy Spirit today. You know, in a short while, as we sing, there must be more than this, the consuming fire. As we sing these songs, I want to invite you, any one of us here, that you know what I'm talking about. You have experienced what I've gone through before. We want something more, Lord. I want to invite you, as we sing these songs, would you come to the front with me and let the Holy Spirit fill your lives once again. As you come to the front, I want to encourage you, don't just bring your problems to Jesus. Don't need to tell Jesus your problem, because He already knows all your problems. He knows what you've been going through. Tonight or today, Jesus is asking, would you come to Him? Not giving Him your problems, but you. Would you empty yourself today and let Him fill your life with the Holy Spirit? Let Him turn your weakness into strength. Let Him empower you and give you faith in your situation. And let Him turn your dry land into flowing spring that comes out the joy of salvation in you in everything that you do. If today, this is your desire, this is your heart, this is your prayer, Jesus is inviting you to ask. And the promise that Jesus is giving you today, that if you ask today, you receive. If you seek, you will find. You knock, the door will be open. Because this is God's desire for you, that you will be filled with full of His Holy Spirit. So may I invite us to stand. So wherever you are, I know time is a bit running out, but I still want to give opportunity to any one of us here this afternoon. You want to have a fresh encounter of the Holy Spirit. You're tired, you want more of God, I want to invite you as we sing this song, just come to the front so that we can pray together with you, all right? Without delay, just come to the front. Before I close in prayer, may I just invite us, for those who are still standing, maybe you'd like to turn to your neighbor, if a husband and wife can pray together. If not, just turn to your neighbor and pray for one another. Would you do that? Just pray for one another, that the Lord will stir in our hearts a passion for His name. The Lord will stir in our hearts the passion for the lost. The Lord will stir in our hearts the desire of want to have more of God in our lives. So may I invite us, and where you are right now, just pray for one another. Just turn to your neighbor and pray for each other. So I'd like us to do one more thing before we go. All right? I'd just like us to hold the hands of the person beside you as a prophetic act. I'm going to close this time in prayer. We're going to pray together as one family. I think God has us put Kuz in a very special place. I'm going to right now come before Him and saying to our Lord Jesus Christ, Father, Lord, this is your church. Father, would you help us? Would you help us, O Lord, and empower us to be the kind of church you want us to be? Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Empower us by your Spirit, O Lord. Not just for today. Even after today, even as we leave this place, that you'll continue to help us to walk faithfully with you. Continue to be always to encounter that fresh encounter with you. So that, Lord, that as we are filled with your Holy Spirit, we receive the power to love one another. We receive the power to love, not just for one another, but also for those, not in this church, but in the world. So that when we are filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord, we are given the power, Lord, to obey your will. So that through our love for one another and our love for you, Lord, that we pray that this church, Church of our Savior, will be a church that will shine for you. The church that will help the world to see how great you are, that our God, our Father in heaven, is perfect. So as they look at our love for one another, they will praise you, our God, our Father, our great King in heaven, forever remembering your goodness and your glory. Thank you, Father, for your presence here. Thank you for your words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So God bless you. God bless you. See you next week.
Thanks for tuning in. We trust you have been blessed. For more information, check us out at www.kuz.org.sg. God bless.